according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." Then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed their word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's feast of St. Mark happens in the church not fundamentally because he was the Bishop of Alexandria, not principally because he was a martyr, happens fundamentally because he was an evangelist, someone who spread the Lord's word in such a way that we are continuously nourished to this day, and the church will be nourished until the end of time. And how beautiful a saint St. Mark is. There seems to be much scriptural evidence to the fact that he had to convert over and over again because he had clear weaknesses. St. Mark's gospel alone, we have that curious detail about a man following Jesus on Holy Thursday after the arrest. And when they spotted him, they grabbed onto his garment, and they kept grabbing onto his garment as he ran away naked. Why that detail would be in the Gospel of St. Mark would make no sense unless Mark were that one following at a distance and was present and remembered the little detail. Likewise, we know from early church tradition with a great sense of clarity that Mark was John Mark, whose mother used to allow her house to become a Domus Ecclesiae, and that's where Peter went after he was liberated from prison. This was the John Mark, the nephew of Barnabas, who was traveling with Paul and Barnabas. But when they got to the malaria-infested swamps of Pamphylia and they looked at the heights of the treacherous mountain that they would have to hike in order to get up to Galatia, John Mark just quit. That was too much for him. He'd let his uncle and Paul, who were much older, traverse those same dangers, but he as a young man was chickening on out. And yet we know, eventually came back. Eventually he proclaimed the gospel with his uncle Barnabas when there was that split and Paul went off with Silas. And eventually, as we see in today's first reading from St. Peter, he was there with St. Peter to the end. And from the earliest days of the church until today, most scholars of this gospel recognize that what he put into writing was fundamentally the gospel St. Peter preached. It seems to have been the first of the gospels written down. At the beginning of time, we remember that Jesus didn't say to his followers when he was ascending into heaven, "Now go into a room, get out some writing utensils and some paper, and write down what you remember." He sent them out to proclaim the gospel verbally, to become, in a sense, not just messengers, but the enfleshment of that message, so that others would be able to see live the power of the word that they themselves were proclaiming. But as the apostles were getting older, and they recognized that those eyewitness accounts would now pass into secondary and tertiary and quaternary accounts. They sat to write what Jesus did down. And St. Mark, at the prodding of St. Peter, was the first one to do so. Such a beautiful structure of his gospel, such a beautiful simplicity in the way that he told the story of Jesus through the actual stories of Jesus, how everything basically hinged and was the fulcrum of his gospel was Peter's confession of Jesus, as simple as St. Mark recalls it for us. And that was the point to which all of Jesus' initial miraculous work went. And then from there, there was the preparation to the cross. St. Mark's gospel, about whom the early scripture writers would say, it was an account of the Lord's passion with a very long introduction. But Mark was focused on this work of Jesus so that we would, as we sang in the gospel verse, hear through his gospel Christ crucified, proclaimed, so that we would be able to experience through that proclamation God's power and God's wisdom. On St. Mark's feast, therefore, it's an important occasion for us to examine our own weaknesses with regard to the word, our own failures, the times that we have ourselves have run away, the times that we have chickened out. God never gave up on Mark, and he's never going to give up on us. And when we recognize that in our youthfulness, in our cowardice, or whatever it was, we have abandoned rather than remained faithful to the Lord, we shouldn't continue to run away, but like St. Mark, come back, because the Lord's not done with us. Second thing is, St. Mark's remembered today because St. Mark was able, humbly enough, as we heard in that first reading today, talking St. Peter's words about humility, those were heard by Mark. Mark was probably co-author or scribe of what Peter himself was dictating here. He humbly became great in God's eyes by attaching himself to the greats. He attached himself to St. Paul. He attached himself to the Son of Encouragement. He attached himself to St. Peter, the rock on whom Christ had built his church. And in growing together with them, he was able himself to do something great for the Lord's kingdom. So often we can become too proud. We want to do it our own way. We want to be the one who's the headliner rather than the assistant. But it's through that type of assistance that the Lord can nourish us, so that thereafter he's able to use us to go beyond even those greats' work. And then third, how important it is that the Lord calls us to use every means we can for the proclamation of his gospel and for the building up of his kingdom. I doubt when St. Mark was writing this gospel that he recognized that more than the audience he was intending to write it to would read it. He probably never thought it would be copied over and over and over and over and over and over and over again by monks, that it would be translated into so many different languages, that 2,000 years later, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, the whole church would be proclaiming the words he, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote down. He just wrote about the Lord Jesus, and the Lord took it from there. And that's repeated itself throughout history. Little did St. Ignatius of Antioch recognize that when he was writing the letters to the seven churches, that those would bring about so many converts 2,000 years later. He just wrote. Little did St. Paul recognize that when he was writing a letter to St. Timothy, that again, it would nourish the faithful thereafter. Little did Saint Therese know, when she was under obedience writing the story of her soul, that it would lead many to holiness through her little way. We could multiply the examples, but here's the point. Little do we know that when we're taking notes at a mass at the beginning, that God might be able to multiply those words. Little do we know that when we send an email and don't just do it in a perfunctory way, but actually put in a prayer there, that it might turn somebody's day right side up or turn somebody's life right side up. Little do we know that when you go through the exercise of bringing a little tape recorder to Mass, that somebody in the Philippines or in India or in Nigeria is going to be listening to it today. Little do you know, when we do these things in showing what the Lord and His goodness has done in us, the power of the Word of God working through our frail human flesh, how the Lord will use that for His kingdom. We don't know. And if we did know, it would either lead us to pride or frighten the living daylights out of us. But the point is, we just need to let our faith overflow in these ways. Because it can save lives, not just today in the audience as we intend, but so much into the future. Today on this Feast of St. Mark, we recall that he himself wrote down what Jesus did on the night he was betrayed. How he took bread and wine into his hands and totally changed them into himself. And how at the end of his life on earth, he said, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." Today, as we come forward to experience what St. Mark himself experienced first through the hands of Saints Peter, Saints Barnabas, and St. Paul, and then himself, after he had received the imposition of the hand, gave to the early community in Alexandria and elsewhere. After we've received the same gift that he himself received and passed on, may we allow ourselves to be so docile to the inspiring Holy Spirit that as he inbreathes his own power into us, that we may in fact proclaim the gospel, not just with our lips, but with our pens and our keyboards, so that the ends of the earth, not just today, but tomorrow, may be able to see that the Lord continues to save. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.